Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this morning. It's this afternoon. It is 4:07 in the afternoon, to be exact, folks. And we have Ben Hohmeyer here. He is the public affairs person, I guess, president of
the state director.
State director. Okay. State director for NFIB, which, of course, is very business friendly, does a lot of good things for business. And Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Ann. Thank you for having me on the air with you.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what NFIB is all about?
Well, NFIB is the largest small business group here in South Carolina with about 4,000 members. We are also the largest small business group in the country. And we advocate on behalf of our members. And something that's different about us is we have to go to the members to find out what it is that we're going to advocate on.
You mean you just don't make decisions and say...
I don't have carte blanche to make decisions. I have to go to the folks and get a certain percentage of the membership to say, this is what it is that we care about, and we want you to go to the state legislature and then, you know, go to the federal folks to say, this is what small business cares about. And so it's a unique thing, and it's a great thing because we actually want to hear what our members have to say. But, you know, we're out there trying to make sure that the tax system is best for our folks, and to make sure that, you know, South Carolina and the country has the most business-friendly climate possible. And, you know, some of the things that we've done in the past is we've sued the federal government over the Affordable Care Act. We were the named plaintiff there, but we've, you know, gone.
How'd that work for you there,
well,
Ben?
Well, we didn't get everything that we wanted, but we're also trying to make changes going forward as well. But we also, you know, are looking at minimum wage that we talked a little bit about off air, and you know, just trying to make sure that small business folks have a fair shake going forward. Where 90% of all businesses are small business in the whole country.
What qualifies as a small business?
Well, if you talk to the federal government, it's having 500 employees or less. That's not really who our folks are. NFIB folks are traditionally mom-and-pop type folks. In South Carolina, that's having really five people or less. But like I said, 90% of our folks have 20 employees or less. But here in South Carolina, it truly is, you know, mom and dad who are running the show and may have a couple of employees that are working there with him. But,
sure,
you know, our folks are the chief cook and bottle washer kind of people.
Yep, they do the toilets and they do the glorious
right.
stuff too.
We're doing HR. We're keeping up with all the regs that need to be done. We're keeping up with making sure every bill is paid and making sure that the inventory is correct and that the truck has gas in it that you need, you know,
exactly,
if you're delivering something or...
So what is the status here in South Carolina? Are we seeing more businesses opening? What is NFIBC as the climate for South Carolina? I personally, if I wasn't already in business, I'm not sure I would open a business, truthfully.
Well, it's still tenuous. Getting money is still pretty difficult from banks. You know, it's great that you see that unemployment's going down, but part of that is also folks that are just leaving the workforce.
Yes.
You know, it's not, I want to say 6.6% is where we are, which is below the national average, but we do have a lot of folks that are just leaving the system.
Sure.
Either they are tired of looking for certain things that aren't there, or, you know, businesses that are closing. But to be fair, I'd like to say that things are getting better, but it's still extremely slow in getting better.
Sure. But are you seeing more people? You know, it seems that they're talking about the trend of people going into business. We're giving up on companies employing, so people are being creative and going into business on their own.
Well, you have a lot more opportunity because you don't have the traditional businesses that were out there. You don't have as many brick and mortar businesses, you know, with
a lot more in the internet.
You know, as we talked about, your station broadcasts through an app.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of people that are out there developing various apps for everything. And that's not the type of business model where you needed to go get 1,000 square feet of space and, you know, make sure that you had traditional, you know, had your parking spaces and had, you know, everything for
sure,
everybody.
Where
now you are looking at people that are switching from that brick and mortar mold to being now more of an online, you know, which in some cases is good and in some cases is bad. You know, when you look at the community, obviously, you know, communities love to see Main Street, you know, bustling and doing
exactly.
great. And obviously from an NFIB standpoint, we love to see, you know, a thriving Main Street. But, you know, as part of thriving on Main Street now is being diverse and having that, you know, presence online that you
sure.
may not have had before.
Well, you know, one of the things that has come out in the last week is that the CBO came out and said that there were going to be fewer people working. And I have noticed that they said because we won't be tied to the insurance of a company, mm-hmm. that people will be able to do poetry or do creative things. I found that very interesting.
Well, people could always do creative things. And there are a lot of folks that come out of, you know, Lander, which is close by here, or USC or Clemson, that get a degree in poetry.
Sure.
There are also a lot of them that are still looking for jobs because they have a degree in poetry.
But according to the CBO and according to what we're being told, that this will be great. They'll have insurance. They won't have to be tied to a job.
Well,
what about when they need to pay a bill, though? That's what I want to know.
Well, they can get insurance. They just can't pay for the insurance.
Exactly.
And so that's a big thing. You know, if you're a company, a large scale, we would say traditional type company that used to offer all these benefits,
right?
You know, and they may say, look, we're going to stick everybody on a health exchange. Well, people are going to get a little bit of sticker shock when they go and look at that and say, I'm a perfect example. I am a small business owner as well. And I went to the exchange just to see what it was going to cost me. And I had a 70% increase over what I pay now. And I looked at that and I looked at my wife and we, you know, cried a little bit and went, we said some other things that I won't say on the air. And
I'd like to stay on the
yes,
air,
ma'am.
Please.
And so people just don't realize, yes, you are required, not you are not required, you have the right mm-hmm. to be covered. But you don't necessarily still have the ability to be covered because you do have to be able to pay for everything that's out there.
Exactly.
The world is not free.
What do you think about what the CBO came out with and the figures that there would be this many less employed going forward, which was not something they expected to come out of this?
You know, yeah, I think you always take CBO numbers with a grain of salt. They, like anything with statistics, you always can make them say whatever it is you would like them to say. I'm sure.
But they're supposed to be nonpartisan,
well,
now, Ben. Come on.
And so are, you know, the OMB is also supposed to be nonpartisan as well. And the numbers can always say what they need to. I'm sure the president likes certain numbers that are coming out, and I'm sure he doesn't like other numbers that are coming out. I'm sure Congress, you know, when they look at the CBO, there are certain numbers they can point to the president and say, look, this is not working because you have less people that are going to actually be providing health insurance, or you have
the
folks that are 25 to 35 that need to buy health insurance to cover the folks that are 65 to 75.
Sure.
And that's
it's not happening.
And the CBO is saying, well, you know, these folks aren't quite getting on there. You know, the president may look at that and say, well, those numbers aren't accurate. We have, you know, different numbers that we're going to look at.
Well, what about from South Carolina's perspective on the health care and this? What is actually happening?
Well, last year, the governor and Tony Keck, who implements the governor's plans there at HHS, said we will not expand Medicaid. Obviously, you have folks on both sides of, you know, and so that affects
the
private market as well.
That was free money.
Well, there's no such thing as free money. But so you have folks on both sides of the aisle. There were, on the very first day of session this year, you had dueling rallies, one on the front side of the State House and one on the back side.
At least they weren't both on the same side.
Thankfully, on the front side, they brought coffins and said that South Carolinians were, or the government, and the governor specifically were killing 1,400 South Carolinians a day by not accepting Medicaid. And the folks on the backside of the State House, you know, just said, thankfully, we are not beholden to, you know, putting more people on the government dole. And so, you know, the people that actually pay taxes aren't going to be paying for all these other folks to be out there. You're still going to have folks this year that will try, I'm sure, to insert a budget proviso that says that for the next 3 years, and that's the number they always say as well, it is free money for the next 3 years. Well, there has never been a government subsidy that has gone away.
There's no free lunch.
The Department of Energy was created to, you know, take us off of energy independence. Mm-hmm. Of other companies, and they now have it's thousands of employees, and it actually costs more. You know, this was something that was done during the Carter administration. Well, sure. Government entitlements and programs don't always work.
This is true. Hey, I'm here with Ben Hohmeyer. If you've got a question, we're going to be talking about the minimum wage. We're going to be talking about a lot of other different issues that affect NFIB members. And, of course, Ben is working with them, trying to make sure that the word gets out on how they feel about things. If you've got a question for him, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon, talking with Ben Hohmeyer. He is the state representative for NFIB. Thought it would be interesting to find out what members in NFIB are concerned about, since small business does make up so much part of what makes this country work. And, of course, that may have been a statement in the past, Ben. Does that still work today?
You know, I think it is true. I mean, small business is the economic engine of the country. You see the Boeings of the world and the Michelins of the world, and they make a huge splash. And they are needed, and they are great. And we want, you know, the reshoring, as they call it in manufacturing, you know, getting those large-scale manufacturers back. But they can't do everything that they do without small business. The person that makes the, you know, gear that goes into the landing piece that, you know, goes into the plane down at Boeing, or, you know, that develops, you know, a part of the steel belt that goes into the Michelin tire and things like that. So it's...
Well, we've seen a lot of that with BMW up here in Greenville.
Sure.
And all the small companies that have been offshoots.
Hundreds of companies were spun off from BMW going there. And we see that, you know, with Boeing and Charleston and other companies that locate all over South Carolina. But they have to realize, and the people have to realize, that you need that small business to be there for the large business to be able to survive and to thrive.
Now, what do we think as far as South Carolina as an environment for small businesses, business friendly, coming to South Carolina? What are some of the issues that would keep a business from coming to South Carolina?
Well, if you're a small manufacturer, where you're not going to get a fee in lieu, you're going to pay 10.5% on your taxes.
Well, wait a minute. This fee in lieu thing, I'm getting a little tired of, because every time we get a fee in lieu of something, that means those small businesses with property and the people that own property, we end up paying more, Ben.
Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't anybody realize this?
Well... You know, they love to have a BMW come in and say for the next 30 years, they're going to know what they're going to pay. BMW wants to know exactly what they're going to pay.
Right.
And so for them, it's a great deal.
They come in and negotiate the next 10 years, though, too, Ben.
And so they're not going to be paying that 10.5% that the other folks are out there paying.
Right.
And which now pays for your schools, and, you know, because of Act 388 implemented years ago. And so from that standpoint, you know, that could potentially keep some folks from coming here. if you're a LLC, S-Corp, we did make some changes there, something that I helped push through, you know, lowering from 5% down to 3%, you know, the tax level that you're paying there. And so that's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking at our neighbor states in North Carolina that just had a major tax overhaul to get rid of their income tax, mm-hmm. I want to say it's 14 states now that have gotten rid of their income tax levels. Well, you do have other parts of the balloon that get pushed on, so it's hard to tell. But, you know, it could be our major issue. Our number one issue this year is looking at is business license fees. And so when you're looking in a county that has business license taxes that are put on there, that's a huge thing. I would tell folks that are looking at Richland County to probably go to Lexington County. Go to Kershaw County, where you don't pay these other taxes that are out there.
But if you do business in some of these counties,
you're still going to pay, absolutely. Every time, you know, Charleston County is a huge thing. Obviously, pretty far away from here. But, you know, when you're a realtor and every place you stick a sign, you are paying the broker in charge is paying it. But somebody is paying that particular fee to that local government. Are they using the money properly? Well, that's up to the local folks to discuss. But yeah, when you want to go do business, when you're selling your good in that particular county, you know, you're paying those taxes there as well.
Sure. And of course, the other thing is the amount of time that it can take somebody to get a license, even when they've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. It can take a good amount of time to get this business up and rolling.
Oh, absolutely. And when you're a small business and you're doing all the HR work and you're doing all of the legal type work, you know, or you're paying somebody to do all that, it's more time and money that's, you know, taken away from you actually running your business. Because obviously it needs to be done correctly, because if you don't do it correctly, then somebody's going to come tell you, and you're going to start incurring penalties and the wrath of the folks that are technically in charge.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, a detriment. But it's, you know, you look at the fees that you have to pay and on business personal property taxes, and we talked a little bit about that off the air. You never truly own the chair that I'm sitting in right now in your office. You're going to pay money on this chair forever. Your CPA right now has to go through, you know, the PT-100 is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And the form is confusing. It's handwritten, which makes it even more confusing. I know a business in Richland County, in their entire business park, all of the forms were lost. And they came back, well, you didn't remit these taxes. They had signed documents as to when they you know, they even sent them as registered mail to know that they were sent. Once they got there, all of a sudden, you know,
things disappeared.
So it could be better. It could also be worse. We are not California, thank goodness. We are not New York, places like that are extremely difficult to do business in.
Well, come on now. New York is inviting people to come up there and open your business and no taxes for 10 years.
Well,
now,
New York is also inviting businesses to leave when they say that we don't want to deal with anyone who is different than we are, you know, that are of a conservative nature. They, you know, they flat out, Governor Cuomo said, we don't want folks that are like this. You know, when you look at gun manufacturers that are fleeing Connecticut, fleeing sure. New York, fleeing California.
And we've been fortunate to get some here.
Thankfully, you know, the governor, Representative Alan Clemens, the folks down in the Conway, Myrtle Beach area that are saying, bring us. You know, and most of them are small businesses. They're 100 employees. A couple are a little larger, a couple are a little smaller
sure.
than that. And those are, you know, your small business folks that all of a sudden are manufacturing, are advanced manufacturing, are, you know, putting folks on, you know, sales tax and income tax and buying homes and, you know, sure. are becoming a major part of the community at 50 employees, at 100 employees and we love having them come there.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, we're with Ben Hohmeyer. He is with NFIB. We are going to be right back after South Carolina Radio News. So don't you go away. Stay right with us. Got a question? Give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. How you doing this afternoon? I am here with Ben Hohmeyer. He is the state representative, the one in charge, making sure that members get the answers that they are trying to get. And he also, I think it's very interesting, the National Federation of Independent Business works for its members. What does that mean? You just don't make up your mind what issues you want to go with, right?
No, that is something I think that separates us from a lot of different groups out there is we talk to our members to find out what it is that they care about and where they come down on things. You know, and we send out a ballot every year before the General Assembly gets going, and they do this in every state. And we narrow it down to some questions. I have a leadership council that helps narrow down some questions, and then we put it to the members. And if it doesn't come back favorable, we don't support it. And if it comes back far the other way that we are very much against something, I'll stand there and lobby on behalf of us saying we are not in favor of going forward with this position. And it may put us at odds with other business groups, or it may put us at odds with, folks that have been supportive, or we may be out there being the biggest cheerleader for those same groups saying this is important to small business in South Carolina, and we want to be heard, and our members have spoken and said this is where we need to go.
Isn't it really important job? I mean, I think lobbyists get a bad rap, don't they? I mean, you guys are bad, 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 aren't you?
They do that, and there is a question that always gets asked. I sit in on a lot of Senate confirmation hearings on various cabinet appointees and other officials to boards, and they always ask if you were a lobbyist within the last couple years. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, everyone deserves a voice. Mm-hmm. And
not everybody can be there.
That's true. Right. And so I'm out there advocating on behalf of, in this case, 4,000 people and what it is that they care about and that they want to be heard on. And, God bless America that there are people on the other side of that and can say, no, I don't agree with that. And on times I'm going to say, I don't agree with that. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's not bad to be a lobbyist in any way. We're not bad people, I promise.
Well, that's what you always hear, and so I thought I should bring that up. Now, of course, how many members are there in total in the whole country for NFIB?
About 350,000.
Wow.
And so it's a large group. Obviously, in your states where they are much more populated in, just in Georgia alone, there's about 8,000 members.
Double the amount, then.
If you go into a state like Florida, mm-hmm. You're looking at tens of thousands of members just because they have a lot more people.
Sure.
Same as in a California or a Texas. But in a Vermont or a Rhode Island, when you get into states that are smaller than South Carolina,
sure.
it's a much smaller. But 350,000 strong members that are out there.
Now, are there a lot of differences between what members in California are looking for versus what members in South Carolina are looking for?
Really, no. I mean, ultimately, small business owners across the country want the government to protect them, want to drive on safe roads, and want you to stay out of their life for how they actually run their business.
You mean they want the federal government to go by the Constitution?
Well, that would be a good thing. That would be a good start. Yes, ma'am. I mean, we don't want folks intruding into how we want to operate. I mean, yes, it needs to be safe working conditions. It needs to be, a fair and equitable place to be. But we don't want to have to make sure you have, we definitely don't want that, but we don't want to be told that you need to have 10 forks in your drawer at your restaurant. You understand how many you need to have, and it shouldn't be regulated and legislated, certain things. It should be up to the individual business to decide how it is that they want to run their business.
What do you think in South Carolina? You were telling me a story about how South Carolina just bought a building, and there were three businesses?
In Richland County, in Columbia specifically, there were three private developers that wanted to buy a particular building, and the city ended up buying the building, and this was for millions of dollars. And in my opinion, and in the opinion of my membership, they shouldn't be doing that. You know, that is not government's role to develop.
Did they say they could do it better than the individual?
They did. I went to the meetings. I sat in on the council meetings. And, you know, in Richland County, that is just the way things are. It's, you know, they spent $7 million of the tax citizens, you know, the citizens' tax money there in Richland County to buy something that will sit there for years probably before they actually decide to do it, or they will, you know, come back and try and end up selling it to a developer for half of what they paid for because they can't get it done. And you know,
so why does government feel they can do these things better? I mean, Ben, you're talking to these people all the time. Why do they think they can do it better?
Well, it's not all government that thinks that. If you go to, you know, looking at just trying to compare apples to apples in a large scale area, Greenville does not do that. The makeup of the leadership in Greenville is very different from that in Columbia. And so,
well, they're close to the state government. Does that make a difference?
No, it's, you know,
I'm trying to get an answer
yes,
here,
you
Ben.
You have certain folks in state government that want to do certain things and certain folks that do not. I mean, we are blessed in that from my membership point of view, the folks that run state government in South Carolina are more in tune as to what they would like. You know, under the leadership of Bobby Harrell and John Corson, now formerly Glenn McConnell, and Governor Nikki Haley, they have wanted government to stay out of the business of trying to run a business. You know,
sure.
We now have, you know, the Small Business Regulatory Review Task Force that looks at all these crazy regs that are out there. And we have, if folks don't realize it, there are tens of thousands of regs that truly run the lives of South Carolina and how things, and federally. There are thousands of regs released every day from the federal government. And so folks are now looking at these saying, this is bad for business, this is bad for the citizenry. And so they're taking the time to comb through these. I mean, there are committees out there now that are looking at these going, this is insane mm-hmm. that we are trying to do this.
So you think that South Carolina is in better stead?
I think we're in better shape going forward. And I think we're trying to get into an even stronger position going forward. I mean, we have business leaders that are running our state now, which I think puts us in a better position to attract big companies and small companies and to put South Carolina in a stronger position to be a force in the business community. We are a small state, but I think we can still carry a big stick.
Absolutely, but we're also ending up with a lot more retirees moving here to South Carolina.
Well, retirees aren't a bad thing. They
No, I don't think they're a bad thing. I'm just saying that we are adding a lot of those.
From experience, my parents retired to South Carolina from Washington, D.C. You know, they wanted a better climate, but they also brought with them money that goes into the tax base. They, you know, bought a nice size house, which, you know, goes into paying tax. They live in Beaufort County and, you know, to Beaufort County, and they eat at the restaurants and they...
Sure. But that's a part of South Carolina that we have to look at, too, I guess.
You know, it is.
Point.
And if you look, you know, we in 2010 got another congressional seat because of redistricting when they looked at the census and saw that we took folks from, you know, what you'd call the Rust Belt, from Ohio and Michigan. And
sure.
And those folks wanted to come here for jobs. You do have a lot of the retirees that don't stay retired, you know, that are looking at. And so we get a bigger voice also nationally by going from having six congressmen to now having seven congressmen. And so our voice grows that way as well.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to take a quick break and hear a word from our great sponsors that make all this happen. We are here with Ben Hohmeyer with the National Federation of Independent Business. Certainly hope you'll stay with us. And if you got a question, give us a call, 229-7984.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality. And we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones, too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Hey, we're running up on the last segment. If you do have a question, don't hesitate to call us, 229-7984. We are here with Ben Hohmeyer with the National Federation of Independent Business. Haven't they been around for just eons of time? Aren't they one of the oldest?
We are.
I'm doing this from memory.
No, you're absolutely correct. We have been around for over 70 years and are still going strong.
Back before that, did we need lobbyists?
Oh, there's always been a lobbyist and for something, whether it was, you know, saying what we should have for dinner at some point. Somebody is always lobbying for something.
Well, that's true. Even in the family unit, you've got somebody lobbying for something, whether it is what we're having for dinner or where we're in Greenwood, where we're going to dinner is usually the question.
While I am a professional lobbyist, I lose out at home all the time.
Do you really?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that I think that we should really talk about, because this does affect the National Federation of Independent Business People, is two subjects, immigration and minimum wage. Those are two, I think, really biggies. And, of course, this weekend there was a lot of talk about, since nobody trusts anybody in the federal government, i.e. Congress, senators, the president, nobody trusts each other. There now is conversation about going ahead and passing immigration, whatever they come up with, and then not implement it till after President Obama is not president in 2016 when the election is over. What does membership think about this? I mean, that is just a bizarro to me, I think.
Well, there is always
an angle
cover that politicians, at least federally, tend to look for. And, you know, when you own a business, you want to be a straight shooter. You want to know what things truly are.
How much is going to cost you?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. What does this cost me and what does this do to my business?
Sure.
And it's hard to extrapolate, you know, the president will be there, you know, until 2016.
Right.
And so it's hard to say in 2016 what the makeup of the country is going to be.
Sure.
And so if Congress wants to do this, let Congress stand up and say, this is what I want to do. We are lucky here, especially here in the upstate, with Jeff Duncan and Trey Gowdy that are up here that say, this is where I stand on something and this is where I think things should be.
Sure.
And so as a state, we are very lucky in that respect.
Exactly.
But from a membership standpoint, I mean, we obviously have folks that are on all sides of every issue, but we want to make sure that the people that are here that are doing work in our businesses are the right folks and that are here legally. You know, you take the time and expense to go through E-Verify and to make sure that you have the right legal people here doing work, and then all of a sudden you have somebody else who isn't going through that. But we want to make sure that documented folks are here, that they are part of the community and paying their taxes and doing the right thing. And so just saying that, you know, 10, 11 million people can all of a sudden become a citizen of, you know, the United States and however many are here in South Carolina, citizen of South Carolina, is a difficult thing to say that's what I want to happen. You know, all these other folks, and America is a great place, and you can legally come here to become a citizen.
Sure.
So many ways. Go through the process. Do it the right way. Don't purposely break the law.
Do you think that maybe the federal government, as just a federal government, we'll just use that general term, could be looking as this way as a great way to have more federal employees processing all these 11 million people, and that is the answer to unemployment in our country?
Well, but I don't know that they can process properly if the website doesn't work
to
get everybody on there. So, you know, it seems like if you go to D.C. now, there are cranes everywhere. There is a building boom of federal buildings that you don't see in,
anywhere else.
Downtown Greenwood, you know, where you would hope to see those things.
Sure.
Because they just don't bother worrying about what it's going to cost.
And it kind of makes you wonder, do you think all the people working in D.C. are legal?
Putting him on the fence here. You know, I would like to hope so. I think if you just look at the numbers, you know, it is not that way. I mean, statistic-wise, it can't be that way.
I'm not those working for the federal government. I'm talking about people working on the cranes and all this building that's going on.
Statistics say, no, they are not all legal folks.
Right.
You would like to hope that the businesses that are doing that are doing their due diligence. But it would be hard to say with 100% certainty that they are all legal American paying taxes.
Spoken like a true lobbyist here today, folks. Well, so membership, though, your membership, though, what do they feel should be the direction as far as immigration goes? These are small business owners now that are, you have about 4,000 here in South Carolina.
We want to make sure because we hire lots of different folks.
Sure.
And we want to make sure that if the people that are here that are doing the work are legally documented, are either citizens or are folks that are here legally, we want those folks to have the jobs. And we would push for, you know, the legally documented folks to have, you know, the proper protections that they're supposed to have under the law. And those that are not, you know, that they need to be taken care of as well. However, the government would see fit to that.
Well, you know, we've gotten into some big conversations over the past on immigration. And, of course, one of the issues is there are so many small pickup truck type businesses that are actually run by illegals. And of course that takes away from those businesses that are doing the same thing.
Sure.
But of course they have more cost because they're paying unemployment and all the taxes and all these things that need to be paid. And that's
an issue. Should something ever go wrong with one of those businesses, you know, if you have somebody who's coming to your house to, you know, take care of your lawn, but then robs your home or breaks something or something goes wrong, you have recourse, you know, because they are a proper business, you know, here in the state. If it's somebody who, you know, is not properly insured and properly licensed and things of that nature, all of a sudden you have no recourse going forward. And so they're taking money away from the business. All of a sudden they've taken money away from you. There's a safety issue, you know, going forward with those.
Well, there are real costs associated with doing business. And I guess the biggest thing we could say is that a lot of these businesses that are illegal, shall we say, they don't pay the same costs.
No, they don't. And that affects everybody else going forward when you're looking at UI and workers' comp and, you know, all the things that legitimate businesses pay.
Have to pay. Yep.
You know, they're not contributing to that at all.
Exactly. Now, we only have about 4 minutes left, so let's go ahead. Ding! Minimum wage, $10.10 for all federal contractors. That's what the president wants. And, of course, that leads us into the discussion. What about all the rest of our people out here?
Well, hopefully. And last year, there was a bill that was trying to raise minimum wage on a county-by-county basis, which NFIB helped defeat. And we are, as a business group, not in favor of a mandatory raise of the minimum wage. And when you look at some numbers, and there's a number on our website that talks about if you have 10 people that work for you and you raise the minimum wage up to, and some people say $15 an hour is where you should be, and other people have looked at numbers even higher than that. But on a yearly basis, if you raise it up from where it is now to just $10 an hour, for every dollar you raise it, it will cost a business $20,000. And so if you're raising it, say, $3 an hour, And all of a sudden, you're going to have businesses that are going to have more people that aren't going to be working that are going to be seeking the current minimum wage because they're no longer employed because the business just can't afford to do so. I mean, it is extremely cost prohibitive for businesses to see that minimum wage raised up.
In truth, Ben, what do you think, though? Do you think that we have a majority of our people working at minimum wage?
I don't. I think when you go into, you know, if you are a high school student and you go to work at a local restaurant or something like
sure.
that, a fast food restaurant, because obviously they're different when you're sitting in a
sure.
sit-down restaurant.
Sure.
You know, that's where minimum wage was meant to be. For folks getting in. No one has ever talked about it as being for a family of four. But if you go to, across the street from here, you've got a Lowe's that those folks aren't making $7.25
an
hour.
No, they're not.
You know, they know going in that that's not what they're going to be making.
Sure. And plenty of your Burger King's, McDonald's, this type of thing. Yes, they may have some people working at that wage, but of course their whole idea is to move people forward.
Yes. Yes, so. They want to start putting folks in a management position and where they are making, you know, money where a family of four is, you know, being able to live and buy a home and things of that nature.
The biggest thing that hurts our country is the fact that we haven't put our people back to work.
You know, it's going very slow with that, and people are leaving the workforce, by choice, saying that they can't get a job or, giving up on that. But yes.
Hold that thought. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to stay on just a minute or two more as we finish up here today. But if I am sure that what most of your members would like to see is to see a lot of these regulations and a lot of these things that are keeping business from moving forward and just unleashing the hounds, shall we say, and let things go wide open.
Regulations that are unjust regulations and unneeded regulations are the biggest prohibitive thing to running a business, starting a business there in the United States. It's, you know, you need to talk to your congressman, you need to talk to your local elected officials, and you need to be involved. And you need to talk to us here at NFIB. I mean, this is what we do. It's something that you want the government to get out of our way of being able to run and operate a business and contribute to South Carolina and to the United States.
Absolutely. Now, Ben, we haven't given out any information on how you can be contacted or if they want to go to your website. Why don't you go ahead and tell people?
The local website, www.nfib.com/SC. The phone number, 803-254-1476. Or ben.homeyer@nfib.org will get you to me.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to have you come on and talk about all the different issues. Sometimes I think, we forget how hard our small business people work. They are always the people that contribute to all the things that happen in a community, and they are the people that help stand there and make things come together in all of our communities across South Carolina and across this great nation.
Well, and thank you for having us, and you're a small business owner yourself, and so you understand what we're talking about, and I always enjoy my time here with you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Ben. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Make sure that you visit the National Federation of Independent Business People on the web. Look for the South Carolina and get in touch. Become a member. Become involved. You know, it does a body good. Hey, that's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.